You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
It's the Friends of Yours Tuesday Drive on Radio 1, and we've got Quinn here. And how was that? How did you enjoy performing? It was really cool.
I loved it. It was great. It's cool. The first time on Radio 1 playing a song, and it was fun.
Yeah, cool. I liked having the drums and half the tracks as well. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. Little extra bit. What's made you like do a bit of that recently?
Get a bit of that drum machine action. Yeah, I had my Switch lying around. I thought, I just love music. I just love playing little games. And so I thought I'd get one that combined the both of them together.
Yeah.
And so I've been getting back into banjo and guitar. So let's just smash it into one project.
Yeah, cool. Banjo, guitar, drum machine. Yeah. I think that's a good balance. Unfortunately, we didn't get the banjo here this time, but maybe we can look forward to some more banjo in the future.
I think you very well can.
Yeah. And so you are you mostly a guitarist? Is that how you see most of your music?
Yes, that's how I'll start most of my...
Cool. And how is like playing the banjo come to affect that? Have you changed your musical dynamic and how you write songs and stuff since picking up other instruments as well?
Yes, I guess it gives you it forces you into a new frame of mind if you're unfamiliar with how to play a particular instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain has to change, and then you think, okay, well, maybe if I'm stuck in the same way of writing songs, maybe I can try to find new ways of writing songs in that similar way.
Yeah. And so you actually played some songs from some older projects in there as well. Could you tell, for the listeners out there who haven't heard some of your music before, could you give us a little bit of background of your kind of musical upbringing, some of the stuff you've been playing, what sort of bands and stuff you did, things like that?
Mm-hmm. Some of the bands that I've been in the Giraffters.
Cool, great name.
Yeah, a classic. You can't beat your classic high school tunes. As well as Cox's Orange, which is a great band with a bunch of friends that I just love.
Yeah.
Cool. And many happy memories. Mm-hmm. And as well as a version of Sometime Winner before it became the Sometime Winner that everyone knows and loves.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Cool. And how's like your songwriting sort of changed over time now that you're writing kind of a more... not quite folk stuff. I mean, I suppose when you play banjo to some extent, maybe it's more like that, but like now that you're writing sort of singer-songwritery stuff or electric things but with vocals, how's that affected how you approach and what sort of music you write?
I would usually be working in a band situation, so now trying to work on a more singer-songwriter focused way, I have to figure out how to accompany everything and fill those spaces differently, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's been a challenge, but also full of new opportunities.
Yeah.
And because I'm further in my songwriting journey, I'm trying to find a lot of internal rhymes with various things. And I'd say that maybe some of my songwriting has become a bit more sincere. Some of the works that I did before were quite jokey, like Sex and Pizza. Right. And I still have that, and I'll still have lots of references, like my old songs would, but maybe... A bit more straight-faced.
Yeah. Cool. No, that's really cool. And what sort of plans have you got for this project, for your Lilac-licious tunes?
Well, I think since being purple-pilled, I'll be going to some open mics. I'll be testing out the material, getting some new ones, and then from there, I'll see. I think I'll try some more... performing solo, but I might also see if I could try to make it in more of a band scenario.
Yeah.
It depends.
Cool.
Some songs don't need it, but some songs definitely can be filled out
through
that and allow for more riffs, yada yada. So it just depends.
And last week we had Starling on doing a live to air who was talking about the folk jam nights that you guys have been having. Could you talk a little bit about that? And is that something you've been kind of indulging in a bit more recently?
Yes, it's like chocolate. It's great. It's delicious. It's so much fun. The Friday folk jams at yours have been very fun and have introduced me to a lot of new songs, but have allowed me to share new tracks.
Mm-hmm.
It also has allowed me to bring my banjo, which is an instrument I've just recently started learning, to a place where it's very friendly, so I feel like I won't be judged for trying to bring and learn on it.
Yeah.
And because of that, I've been learning the banjo quite speedily, mm-hmm. I suppose.
Cool.
With such friendly people and new songs, it forces you to learn.
There's nothing like fast-tracking learning an instrument by like being thrown in the deep end, and I think folk music or any kind of forms of communal music can be a really, really good way to kind of pull that out of people and, like, you know, really drive you. Kind of like what you were saying before about having like a deadline, you know?
Exactly.
Previous to this conversation, for the listeners, sorry. That, you know, having a show or something like that can be a really good way to be like, oh yeah, I do need to actually figure out how that song goes, instead mm-hmm. of just being like, getting to that one, but being like, maybe I'll try this, or maybe I'll try this, or something like that. And what sort of things are you thinking when you're writing songs? Are you much of like an intentional songwriter? You said you've been doing a bit more from the heart recently. Is that does that mean that you kind of just like leap into a guitar and jam your soul away, or do you do you think about something, some kind of poetry beforehand and things like that?
I think primarily I'll find a line that I think sounds lovely, whether that ends up being a riff or a couplet or anything that just sounds, oh, that's got a note to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'll just keep digging until I find whatever gold or lead is in the end. Because sometimes you just dig and you just find lead, and that's still useful, but it's not.
Yeah, lead's, you know, lead's used probably more than gold.
Exactly, and it's used for writing for a pencil, so it just depends. Sometimes you end up, it leads you to other songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because gold is like, it's not very utilitarian, it's a bit more of a...
Exactly.
It's a bit more, you know, the bourgeoisie.
Mm-hmm. It's the sort of, what people put their, like, I think gold is good, but it doesn't have like an inherent quality where lead you can just use. So maybe we should whisk those around and make lead and gold the opposite.
Yeah,
I'm looking for lead.
And you know what you can do with lead? You can attack as well. Lilac attack with lead. And so what's the name Lilac Attack? You're saying Purple Pill. Does that mean you listen to a lot of Prince or?
Oh, I do love a bit of Prince, but I also love dressing in lilac, purple, like Mind Flayers, purple. Uh-huh. There's a bunch of purple. I think that people should become more lilac wearing. Mm. Try to embrace that lavender mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah, there's a few Kiwi artists with those names: Purple Pilgrims, Lavender Menace, Purple Dog is a local band.
Yes.
Look Blue Go Purple is a legendary Otakotsi mm-hmm. band. Purple's pretty inspiring, I think.
Exactly.
What's your favourite purple thing at the moment?
Oh, my aunt crocheted me a little bag that can hold a phone and a couple of other things. It's lilac and it's beautiful and it's
perfect. Family
homemade, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had a bandmate who was really into purple, and they had purple, you know, hair, purple glasses, purple pants all the time.
Love it.
And it was great, it was cool. And their bass was purple, actually. That was a good touch when you can tie your instrument into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bingo.
That's how you know you're dedicated to the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Where's purple going to take you next?
Purple could take me into teaching, into schools, represent it.
What is it in the, like, you know, hats, that the kids' hats, colours that you wear to be happy and angry and sad and stuff? What's purple?
Oh.
Is it contemplative or something? Is it real? Is it in that? Do people use them?
It must be.
What does purple represent?
Are you thinking of the five hats, kind of?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
they're
the kids' hats.
I'm just wondering what purple represents. Do you know?
I think maybe I do know a little, okay. But I want people who haven't tried purple to find out for themselves what it means to them.
We won't shove these words down your mouth, which I'm looking at right now, and they're interesting words, but we won't say it to the audience. You're going to have to listen to more Lilac Attack at your local open mic night, maybe, and playing some music around. Have you got any intention to like record stuff and things like that?
Yeah, I think I'll try. It'll just depend on timing, but you'll see it. You'll see it coming your way if it is.
Yeah, look Look towards the purple.
Look blue, go purple.
Yeah. Move towards the purple. Cool. And I was also just thinking about, it's a corny interview question, I always ask people too much, but I haven't even talked to you about it. There's some of your influences. Like, what maybe growing up did you listen to that got you into playing music, but also, like, is there any artists at the moment that you're really inspired by or interested in?
I listened to my granddad play a lot of piano.
Cool, yeah.
When I was... Well, at all ages, but especially mm-hmm. when I was very young, and seeing him be able to play things and learn by ear, pick up things by ear, was mm-hmm. super inspiring to me and got cool. me into playing piano and then into other instruments,
mm-hmm.
which has been beautiful. Seeing a lot of my friends pick up instruments as well,
yeah,
and being able to want to, oh, I want to play with them, I want to jam,
yeah.
has been big.
Cool.
I suppose... Recently, some artists that I've been listening to recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I've been getting a bit into Weezer again.
Oh, yeah, cool, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Shitty Kickflips.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's that? Is that a song or is that an artist?
That is an artist.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah. And some like car seat headrest.
Cool. That kind of we talked about earlier today. Cool.
I guess. Yeah. There's plenty, but and there's lots of local bands as well, but I feel like sometimes it's almost like a subconscious influence.
Yeah, it's interesting how local music can really influence your your views, your what you know about equipment, or like what you're used to in terms of sounds, and like what you aim for to compare yourself, or also to draw inspiration from. But at the same time, it's not like when you're geeking out with your headphones on to some... artists from overseas where you're like, this isn't a human being, this is a god.
Yeah.
This is better than anyone could ever make. And then you try and make that, but you actually sound more like the local artist than the person you're in love with or something. Yeah. not to say that yourself is remotely like that. I'm waxing too much. I'm talking smack.
Waxing some lyrical, waxing some lilacal.
lilacal. Cool. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on. It's been a real pleasure to have you play and have you for a corrido as well. I hope we get to see some more of you soon. And is there any last words you want for the people of Poti Poti?
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much for listening. And look around, because you'll be seeing lilac a lot more these days, eh?
Yeah.
Take a look-see.
Yeah, draw some inspiration from it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where is it? I don't know. Is it in the reflections in the water? Is it in the petals? Somewhere. Who knows?
Is it in the ground, the sky?
Yeah.
Is it in your mind?
Yeah.
You're going to have to find out.
Do your homework. Come back next week. Cool. All right. Thanks so much again. And
that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.